This is a HeadGum Original.
Ooh! Are you trying to get your mug a beat? Are you trying to contour those brow bones? Maybe you're trying to lift those cheeks, mommy. Well, if you're going to do it, you need to do it with a quality product. That's why I am tired of beauty products not meeting my standards. It's time to reshape the beauty world as we know it. Well, wait no longer. Meet Worthy We Cosmetics, the first sustainable luxury beauty brand in the U.S. I love Worthy We because they have amazing cream bronze tours, as they say them, which is sort of like this cream blush that sculpts your skin and also like covers all the imperfections. As a newer drag queen, I need help from a gorgeous product like this because Worthy We Cosmetics are vegan, cruelty-free, and even the packaging is biodegradable. So not only do I get my bronze tour shade like perfectly blended into my mug, I'm able to build like a new beauty routine. It's so easy to use unlike some products that are confusing. These cream blushes are buildable in a way that you can't go wrong. Like they're unbelievable. They're unrivaled. It's become a beauty favorite for me. Truly, the wear and finish is smooth, clean. I know you're going to love them as much as I do, especially if someone like me who's brand new to creams and contourings, if you're as new as I am and you could look as smooth as this skin is looking, you're going to love it. So treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand right now. Treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20%, oh my God, 20% off your first order at Worthy We Cosmetics, spelled WORTHYOUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER. That's Worthy OUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER for 20% off your first order.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Still a bit to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
Ow! Hey, divas! You're listening to the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Podcast, available for your shitty little bitch ears in the whole world. I'm Mono Gapian, and today I'm joined by a comedian, an actor, a writer, and a verse little slut. It's Jake Cornell!
Hello.
This is what your PR person sent me. This is verbatim.
Thank you, yeah. I've been really trying to make her clear about get every single credit in there. I want all the information, and so she's doing a good job. I need to pay her more.
She's killing it. Jake, what the hell are you doing today?
I'm honestly having a gorgeous day. I woke up, I had friends over last night to watch Drag Race, and we ate a bunch of Chinese food. So I woke up with a big old tummy ache.
I get that.
Yeah, so I had to fight with my body until about 10 a.m. And then I went to the gym, and now I'm here to talk to you.
Wow.
So
it's a gorgeous day. I can't complain. And it's 10 a.m. where I am, so I haven't done shit. But I did eat Indian food last night while watching Drag Race.
I wanted Indian food, but someone who was invited was like, I had Indian leftovers for breakfast. We can't do Indian. And so we had some Chinese.
With all due respect, fuck that whore.
Can I actually just say, like, this has nothing to do with Drag Race, but it is one of my number one pet peeves is when you suggest a cuisine and someone's like, I can't do Mexican. I had Mexican yesterday. And I'm like, bitch, what the fuck do you think they do in Mexico? Like, do you know?
It's like, also, it's like, change it up. Order the ceviche, honey. I don't know.
Mama,
get something else.
No, it makes me so mad. It's ultimately me just saying I'm mad I didn't get my way, but it's fine.
I get you. I feel you deeply. You are out in the New York. I am out in the LA. And for one day, New York and LA gays come together, shake hands, and be friends. What do you say?
I don't think there needs to be a fight.
Let's get real. Is there a fight between New York and LA gays?
I don't think there is, but I think that each of the cities has gays who think they are. But I think the healthy gays are like, mama, whatever you're dealing with, that's an internal struggle. The fight's with yourself. Like, it's not actually. Do you know what I mean?
No, absolutely. It's inner saboteur stuff. Yeah, but I've definitely met some who. You're putting it perfectly. There's an attitude or like there's a pride. Here's what I think. I think New York gays are very proud of themselves, yes. Whereas LA gays don't give a shit. But then I think New York gays don't respect that LA gays don't give a shit.
I think that can get some people pretty hot. When someone seems a little like apathetic or like they're not investing, I think it makes them pretty mad.
That part. And you know what? You go and then I'll go.
What I was going to say is I will say I do struggle. We're coming out of it now, but like when I'm in like mid-February, mid-January, and I see y'all on the West Coast like in a short, t-shirt, looking cute at the bar in a tank top, I get a little pissy.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of layering. So I do struggle with that.
I'm literally wearing a tank top right now.
I've moved you out of my
window. You're turning red.
Yeah, I'm furious.
Bright. No, but I feel you. I think I'll secede that New York gays are cooler than LA gays.
Sure.
Cooler.
In terms of temperature, because it's cold here.
No, but truly, I think they're like cooler. They're more with it. You know, Austin Powers, they're more with it. Tukka, tukka, tukka. But I don't know. And I think that's like, a New York gay disrespect an LA gay more often.
I think my whole theory is I think the number one reason that New York is cooler is, this is so lame and boring, but I truly think it's because of public transportation. There's so much more spontaneity. There's so much more like, you can hop on the train, you can go somewhere. You don't need a DD. You don't need like, it's just like, there can be like such a flow and a vibe.
That
like
is
nothing
cooler.
Kills a vibe. Nothing kills a vibe like a Toyota Camry. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you have to get okay, now we all get in a sedan. Like, it's just like suddenly the vibe shifts.
Are you coming for my Honda CRV?
No, a CRV is kind. I will tell you, CRV is kind.
Okay, good.
It stands for cunty real vehicle. It's just like, that's
cunty?
A
cunty. I have half a mind to like hire a metalsmith, like thousands of dollars to write that on my CRV.
I love that.
Real. Well, Jake, okay, let's talk about Drag Race. Let's talk about this goddamn season. You watch a lot of Drag Race. Duh.
I do.
What do you think about this season as a whole? I'm trying to get my temperature on this season, and I have like, I'm an unreliable narrator because I'm not sold on this season. Talk to me. What's your vibe on this season?
Here's what I'm going to say is after, it's like, it's interesting because season 15, is Sasha was so transcendent.
I agree.
That I kind of was like, you have to kind of give season 16 a little bit, like you have to take it with a grain of salt of it has these huge footsteps to follow in my opinion.
I think you're right.
But conversely, it's also following All Stars 8, which I would say is one of the worst seasons there's ever been of television ever.
That's true.
So it's like, I'm hyper aware of how good Drag Race can be and how bad it can be. And therefore I'm like, you know what? Season 16 works for me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's fair because like, I can't shit on it. And I think I'll even enjoy the season more on a rewatch or something. But there's something funky going on and I can't put my finger on it.
We just now are entering, like we have what? 3 episodes left? 4 episodes left? Just now getting to the part where it's going to be really juicy each week who's getting going home.
Yes.
And I think we just haven't quite been there yet. Like Plasma leaving was such a shock, but there are people, you know, we thought we were going to, I don't know. I think we're just kind of getting there. But
I'm
enjoying it overall. And it does have at least 2 queens that I fully stan. So
yes, I agree.
I'm happy.
Are they
overall? I'm happy.
Saphira and Nymphia for you or others?
Absolutely. There's no question.
Yeah.
It's their season. And I'm personally team Saphira. Like I'm so Saphira pilled It's crazy.
Did you say pilled?
Yeah, I'm Saphira pilled.
I'm with you. I think Saphira is like, gives such winner energy. And Nymphia, and this is not a dig because Nymphia could still win, but she's not playing like she wants to win per se.
No, and like I will say this week was like the whole like inner, the performance of like the doubt and then the slaying, it's getting, that is getting tired, I think, a little bit for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not loving that as much, but when that girl gets in drag, she's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life.
Like last week
when Jane gave her the immunity potion, I was gagging for her in that challenge with that wig, that like Pam Anderson, like yellow wig. Like,
yeah,
I really loved it. So I don't know. I think
she's amazing.
I really enjoy
drag.
Them both. I went to another thing that New York has is we have Sasha Velour's Nightgowns, which is such an incredible drag show.
And bragging about New York.
Last week or 2 weeks ago, and the lineup was Saphira and Nymphia. So
that's
I got to see both of them, and like they are both amazing. But Saphira really grabbed me by the neck and slammed me against the wall. It was crazy.
I'll also concede that a drag show is more fun in New York City.
I think that that's, I mean, I think like drag shows, it's like New York and maybe Chicago are the two, like the only two places that could.
I got to watch the Sasha Velour finale in New York City. And
I've never been more jealous of a person in my life.
My life changed. I was at Barracuda with the funnest New York gays, Josh Sharp, Aaron Jackson, all the good ones. All the good ones. And then afterwards, it was that magical New York thing where they were like, let's go on a boat. I was like, what? Yeah, we're going on a boat party tonight.
Those two girls love a boat. They love a boat.
So it was like really magical New York gay shit, I gotta say.
Yeah.
So I concede that shit will never happen in LA. The best case scenario in LA is they're like, want to go to this warehouse where people are sucking each other's dicks.
And here's the thing. New York has that too, mama.
I'm sure it does. Okay, let's talk about this. Something interesting happens when we're back in. No one goes home. Top two. Of course, Miss Honey, Miss Morphine's pressed. But more interestingly, Dawn and Plain Jane are coming for one another, saying whose look was Boo Boo the Fool. What'd you think?
So I often really enjoy Jane's looks, Plain Jane's looks. This was not the one for me. Profoundly disliked this look. I think her face is stunning, but it always is.
Gorgeous.
But that dress is not for me in any way, shape, or form. I don't think it's green enough to be considered like green for the color challenge.
Yeah.
I think the nude illusion is like brown in a way, like beigey brown in a way that I don't know.
It's lacking. I did the same thing where like, I was like, I don't think I like this. It's lacking a statement piece. Like it needs a green collar or a green something, especially on her bare shoulders. It needs a statement piece that says green.
Yeah. And let me just say this at the top of this episode before we get into it. Every single thing we will see on Drag Race ever is better than anything I could do ever. And I know that as I say these critiques.
Yes.
But yeah, I just need to say that. But this dress is, I think the shape of the green pieces is ugly. I don't understand conceptually what it's supposed to look like. It's a nude illusion.
Right.
With these shapes on it. There's like a little bit of like a veiny vine at the top. I just really don't understand what the look is supposed to be.
The vein.
And I love Dawn's look that she comes for.
Look, yeah, the vein is screaming uncut cock in a dark room. And that, I love.
Yeah, it's definitely, and the little bit, I'm only just now noticing how she extended the vein out of her temple right there. That's hot. I like that. But I literally, I've seen this look in two episodes now and I'm rewatching it now and I didn't notice that until just now.
Yes, you're right though. Like the cracked riverbed thing is just, it's an excuse to not have asymmetry in any way. I'm not sold.
No, I will say, as even though I am Team Dawn in this fight, just a note for Dawn in the future. Mm-hmm. If you're gonna be a cunt about the looks, keep your look on till you're done. Because why are you halfway out of makeup? Like in the wig, like just leave it on until you're
that
done
is funny.
Dragging someone else's looks. And then let's get out of the look. I think that was an interesting choice.
That is an excellent critique. Like if you're wearing a wig cap and you want to read the other girls.
Like don't go up against the girl who's still in her full look because she hasn't taken it off. Like maybe just keep it on a little tight.
So who's That's okay? So if you had to pick, whose look is better, Dawn's in, or Plains in
when
this
they're
fight?
In full look, Dawn's. Oh, at this point,
I agree. I very yeah, much agree. Dawn's look is weird and interesting and a risk, whereas Plains is the absolute opposite of a risk. It's actually a downgrade because 100%. She's served interesting things, and instead she said 100%. This Trinity, the tuck dress instead of
now,
any
here's
risk.
My question. Uh-huh. Here's my question for you is, do yes? you agree with the narrative that Jane was in the bottom?
Yes, I think so.
She's the only person who got a negative critique.
Yeah, I think so. And also, what a weird production is so crazy because it's like, then make her lip sync. We know you're not going to send her home. Why do a no yeah. one goes home instead of a Plains kind move fucked her over and now she has to lip sync? Because you could have edited around her winning. I'm sure of it. So what was the point? What was the
theory,
fucking reason?
Do you know what my theory is?
What was the reason?
They didn't want to have anyone do badly or get negative critiques or be eliminated on the like get out and vote challenge. Like it's not a good look to have anyone like
guess. I mean, yes, I think you're probably right. Cause literally RuPaul, I think kind of said that in a sense, but it was weird. I was like, but who cares? Yeah, we're still going to vote.
Strange.
It was strange as fuck. Okay, we're back in. We're chit-chatting. We're spilling the tea for money is our mini game.
God bless that Cash App sponsorship.
God bless Cash App. That looks like some yummy free money to say the truth. But it was the one interesting thing that came out of it was like sometimes consistently Plain was not in touch with reality, which made me laugh.
Oh, yeah. She's really, when she seemed genuinely surprised that they all voted her as the delusional one, I was like, girl, you're not watching the show. Like, that's really wild.
I love it. I love that her delusion protects her like a gossamer, you know, a gossamer bubble in some sort of Final Fantasy situation. She is protected. And I long for that kind of protection because having no delusion bubble, I am constantly struck by arrows of self-doubt. It sucks.
Yeah, it is kind of, there has been something to watch it as like a performer and a comedian this season to be like, oh, maybe I should be just like a crazy person. Like maybe that is good for your career.
It is. It really is.
Unfortunately.
Because you can just tell people you're the best even when you're not. And people are easy to, people like branding. If you just tell someone you're the best, they don't have to like listen to your art and decide. In fact, people don't want to listen to your art and
decide.
That's
so true.
You know?
That's so true. Also, poor Dawn in this game catching a stray where they were like, they say everything about everyone's personalities and then they just reveal, oh, by the way, Dawn farts a lot. She's gassy.
That was so funny. It's like, what the fuck?
It's like, there was no way the show could ever communicate that before. And it's like, oh, by the way, she be farting. She's farting in the workroom.
I be farting. I know, that is so embarrassing that she's like, not only becoming the, you know, obviously the gays online are saying who's the real villain, Dawn or Plain Jane. And this is an interesting argument too, because if you had to guess who is the bigger villain, Plain Jane or Dawn?
Plain Jane. I don't really see Dawn as
the
villain.
I agree.
I don't really get it because, this is what I've always struggled with Jane is Plain Jane understands the rhythm and timing of when reading is supposed to happen or when the bitchiness is supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. But she does not understand that it needs to be funny or like or that it needs to be like an interesting observation or like an acute like simile or read. It's just like she says you're ugly. Like she doesn't make it funny or interesting. It's not a read. It's like it's just saying a rude thing in the slot where a joke is supposed to go. And I don't think she like, even just now in the fight we watched with Dawn, she just said, you look ugly. You look like you're wearing bed sheets. it's not a read. It's not a joke. Do you know what I mean?
The only time she, and this is, I have to say this because this blew my mind. She did make me laugh this episode when Nymphia and Maya were having a quiet fight. And she perfectly diagnosed it as the quietest fight in the world. She was like, what the fuck are y'all
doing?
She said,
I mean, that and when she said,
that surprised me.
Is this the drag art? Is this the queer art you want to defend? Like she has said a couple funny things over the season, but usually she just says like something mean. And I'm not an advocate of drag queens being nice, but I'm a huge advocate of drag queens being witty and funny.
Period. That has been my critique all season is just that I don't think her reads are funny. But having said that, I am glad she's on this season because she's helping the narrative. She's helping push things forward. I'm happy she's here. I'm also happy the 14-year-old known as Maya Iman LePage is here. She's helping push the narrative of even children can be on Drag Race.
Thank you for saying that.
She's a child.
Yeah, I adore her.
I adore her, but she's 14.
She's 14.
Her mom picked her up after Untucked. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so wait, this is a setup, right? So first of all, this week we're doing this weird challenge that's like, God, why are we doing this? Like a TED Talk corporate drag queen presentation. Even Joel Kim Booster says, you will never do this again. And I wonder why, because this isn't a thing a drag queen needs to know how to do.
I'm kind of disagree with you because
talk to me. Please disagree.
When they announced this challenge, I was like, this is like, it's such a free form challenge. Like, here's your topic, do a presentation and make it funny. Like, it's almost like doing the stand-up challenge, like a stand-up challenge.
Work.
Or the commercial challenge, but with like more training wheels where it's like, just do a PowerPoint and make it funny. Like, I thought
that's
it was such
easy.
Like, I was like, it's easy. Like, it's easy in terms of being, I said it last night when I was watching it with my friends. I was like, it's a little frustrating to watch this and be like, this is like, it's a little bit of a layup to make it funny. And like, they were just, as we'll see in a little bit, like, really not.
That is a good point.
Just not the right, maybe it's just not the right cast for it, but I actually like the bones of the challenge itself. I think it could lend itself to something very funny.
That is a really good point. Cause I mean, I've said that before about this cast. There isn't any like huge comedy standouts.
No.
But here's the thing. Safira isn't a comedy queen. Safira is just talented as fucking shit. So you're like, go be funny. She's like, yeah, I know how to be confident. Like, 100%. I can deliver comedy. I'm good. But there's not any strong comedic point of views per se. There's some accidental fireworks in this cast.
Yeah,
but
totally.
The casting of the teams is such a setup, if you ask me.
Oh, 100%.
You know what? We're going to talk about that stunt. But first, silence, Jake. I feel like taking a break. Hi, listeners. Here to tell you about a very important organization called Al Otro Lado, which helps to reunify families which have been ripped apart due to our country's cruel border policies. As you know, since 2018, many people have been suffering through these policies, which have taken children away from their parents. And Al Otro Lado is working to reunify families. They've already reunified over 100 refugee families, and they create legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the United States and Tijuana. We want you to get involved today. Help me support Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode below, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. That's alotrolado.org/volunteer. Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like, to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus, 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Break. We're back. We're going to talk about the casting of this challenge because we have a 3-2-2 situation. The threesome being Saphira, Nymphia, and Morphine. The other twos being Plain Jane Q and Maya and Dawn. I thought the Maya Dawn was the biggest setup here.
Yeah, but and not to be too hard on my girl, but like there's no one they could have paired Maya with where you wouldn't say it's a setup.
I know.
There's like actually anyone, it would feel like Q playing. It would just, it no matter what, it's going to feel like a setup.
I would have pitched, again, the best pairing I think could have been Saphira and her. And literally being like, I'm your mom. I'm a mom doing a presentation and you're my daughter who I couldn't get a sitter for. So like that would literally be the best situation, I think.
Sure, except I'm sorry, but like she had to go this week. Like,
if
she
was clearly
so it's like, yeah, let's not try to set her up for success. We need her out. Like, it's time.
It was like RuPaul said, this week your challenge will be talking loudly, confidently, and concisely. And she said, fuck my life. Talking.
I mean, it's like, did you watch
Untucked? No, I didn't. Was it good? I mean,
in Untucked, she's more or less just walking around being like, I'm going home. Like, it's just like she knows. Like, it's wild.
She is an interesting character in the pantheon of Drag Race because I've never... Fascinating. Somehow, super cunty, shady. Joel looks so hot.
It's crazy. Joel looks so good on him.
A New York gay who deserves to be in New York. See, and this is what I'm talking about. New York gays have better style than LA gays.
But he lives in LA, doesn't he? I don't know Joel, but I think does he live in New York?
I guess he does live in LA. But I think of him as a New York gay.
Respect, sure. I mean, I know he's.
It could just be his style and like sense of polish. But also, I mean, amazing that there was a time a million years ago where he hosted this podcast and then he said, I'm good. I'm going to go become incredibly famous. So, yes. Okay. They're poking around. Any interesting things that happen in the poke around?
I thought Joel's advice was really good.
It was like, really good
to all of them. Like I thought across the board, even later, I thought he was a really good judge. I thought his notes were really good. I wondered if he similarly was like, I was wondering when he was watching it, I was like, I wonder if he was wishing this was a little funnier. Like, because I similarly was just this is crazy. but no, I thought he did a good job. I also just think it must be so crazy to walk in there and not know the dynamics of the show already because you're not watching the season.
Right.
And having to pick up. Like, you
this
forget
is a spoiler
that, like,
for later. A spoiler for later is he sees Amaya Iman LePage doing all the tricks she's ever done ever. And he's like, holy fucking shit, are you guys seeing this? And the other judges are like, yeah, we see it.
We've seen this. We've seen literally every single move.
We've seen all of this. So that is the lack of benefit to someone like that 100%. Being like, but wait, we're kicking her out? They're like, yeah, trust me. Trust me, we are.
Yeah. I thought Joel's notes were super great. I thought that
very good.
I think that I think it's an interesting choice did they say here or was it later that this bit came in where like they wanted that Jane and Q like wanted to fuck each other?
Oh, is this where that comes in?
I just felt really crazy watching that part because I was like, wait, is this? Like, I just didn't understand if it was supposed to be a bit or not. And then they kissed before they walked off stage. I mean, we can talk about it later when we get to that part of the challenge.
Let's, but. Because Q is poorly behaved this episode. So, okay, we know Maya and Dawn is a setup. I mean, they just have totally different aesthetics. And 100%. It's a shame because it almost worked. I'll just spoiler and I'll go ahead and say, like, when Maya drops her cards, why didn't they play that character all the way through? She should have been a disaster the whole time, because when Maya comes out, she drops her cards, she's poorly prepared. Just play that character the whole time.
Yeah, this is actually, I think Joel's notes were good, but I think they maybe took Joel's note, because Joel gives the note to Dawn of, like, don't give Maya all the jokes, like, don't just be the straight man to Maya's crazy.
Right.
But I think they then took that too far, where I actually think that what it's like, you can be funny as the straight man in your reactions, in your contextualizing of the behavior.
Bianca Del Rio is the straight man of life.
Exactly. That's such a good example. And so I wish that they had given, it could have just been like set, like literally just set up Maya for like physical comedy, like the punch of everything. And then and they could have really knocked it out of the park. But we were so close to that, but we didn't get it.
We didn't. Now this pairing also feels like a setup. The Sephira Morphine Nymphia. That also felt like a really funny, because it's like, we know Sephira's gonna be head and shoulders above. And then what are you whores gonna do?
Yeah. And it's like, and Nymphia's, this is where Nymphia's interesting, is you never actually know if she's gonna be good at something. I mean, you kind of know she's gonna be good, but she plays up this thing of like, she might fuck it up, that it always does feel like a tightrope act, man, in a way.
With a comedy challenge in her, it is heads or tails.
I know. Yeah, I guess I forgot. I'm forgetting that Snatch Game was so bad. But
Morphine,
I don't know.
Morphine, we know, is not probably gonna win this one, but I would want to be proven wrong, but my gut says probably not gonna win this one.
That was, I did not go into this thinking Morphine was going to turn out the win. That, I will say that.
Yeah, not at all. We learn a little bit about Q status, which was really, again, amazing. I love that she's sharing the story, and before she's even talked to her family about it. That was beautiful and moving. It's funny later, but we'll talk about that later.
Well, let me just say this. Let me just say this right now.
Okay.
Q revealing her status and explaining that her family doesn't know, and that she had felt so dehumanized by different people that she had experienced discrimination from, was like incredibly emotional, incredibly beautiful, incredibly brave. Mm-hmm. The fact that I don't know if you remember this, Mano, but the first thing Plain Jane says in response to that, into Q sobbing, into Q revealing this to the first time to the world and to her family, the exact quote Plain Jane says is, "Well, kudos, Mama, for spilling."
Plain is a sociopath, and that's fine.
Well, kudos, Mama, for spilling. Well, I have said that in the 12 hours since this episode has aired. I have said it 42 times.
Spilling.
I keep on texting my friends, kudos, Mama, for spilling. I'm sorry. That is the funniest thing. Kudos, Mama, for spilling. Someone discloses their status to you. Well, kudos, Mama, for spilling.
The next time someone is like, I'm like, my dad died. Well, kudos, Mama, for spilling.
Well, kudos, Mama, for spilling. Like, I'm sorry.
Here, hit me with one. Hit me with one, and I'll kudos Mama for spilling at you.
You know, I lost a friend last year, Mano, and I think since that happened, I've just felt so lost and so unsure of, you know, where I'm going and what I want in life. That it's, some days are just really hard.
Wow. Well, kudos Mama for spilling. Okay. Come on, season 2024. This is crazy. So anything, let's see if we want to say anything else about the presentations themselves. We have Q and Plain. Of course, they get some huge laughs. This, like you're saying, simple PowerPoint laughs by saying, here's some slides, here's some clip. Love.
I just felt like it was, but like the jokes were just so like paint by numbers of just make the name. It was fine. I never laughed once, but it was fine.
I laughed at slides, and I should be embarrassed. I laughed at here are some slides.
That was fine.
I'll own that. I did agree that here's what's confusing about a Drag Race comedy challenge. Am I judging it based on me laughing?
So true.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because there's a million comedy challenges on Drag Race that I think are not up to the par they should be at. And this one was filled with your top and bottom jokes, your gay bar jokes. And they seem to love them.
Yeah, it was just like, I guess I didn't understand the plot that was happening, because it's like they kept on getting overworked up and having to calm each other down. I just didn't.
Right.
It was, I did feel a little crazy watching it because the judges were loving it so much and I just didn't get it. And so, and here's the thing, the assignment on the show is to make the judges laugh and do well, and they did that. So I can only say good job, I guess. But I did not laugh.
You might say good job, but I would say kudos for spilling, mama.
Kudos for spilling, mama. Well, kudos, mama, for spilling. Actually, I would definitely say, well, kudos, mama, for spilling.
Yeah, I'm with you. I didn't know what to judge by because
AMFS.
Like... I didn't know what to judge by. You know what I mean? A lot of times I watch these challenges and especially when I'm like, oh, I have a podcast. I have to talk about this. What can I say? I can't say I hated this with all of my heart. How do I talk about this? I think they fit the prompt of being funny at Drag Race, but I agree. Like Q playing an overexcited nerd was not a character choice.
Yeah.
That's like- just her.
Yeah, and then similarly when... Yeah, that's very true. And similarly, Q getting overworked up later and Q... Or Jane getting worked up later and Q... This part right here. Q having to calm her down. I literally didn't understand why that was happening.
The doctor thing.
Yeah. And then they kissed at the end. And I was like, oh, were they supposed to have sexual tension this whole time? I just kept on getting distracted. I thought Rue's wig tonight was so beautiful. Anyway.
It is beautiful. I liked her big green top dress. I haven't seen something that silly in a while.
Rue looked great tonight. Rue looked lovely.
Rue looked great. And I already said this before, but I'll say it again. Every time the camera cuts to Joel Kim Booster, you're like, oh my God, what a beautiful human.
It's crazy. He looks really so good in this look too. The shoulderless piece.
Scary. He looks scary. Scary attractive. Yeah. And okay, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about the Maya Dawn of it all. Obviously, this is going to be off kilter. This is going to be strange.
I loved Dawn's little intro joke. I thought that was such a great joke where she was like, are we all drinking tonight? Whatever. Oh, that's my other gig. Great. Like, I thought we started. I was like, oh, maybe this
and
is going to go
give
well.
Her, they didn't give her anything for it. They said, you know what I mean? The edit was very lukewarm on that, too. It was like, oh.
Yeah, it almost makes me dubious of like how hard were they laughing in the first presentation? Because that joke was funnier than any joke in the first, I don't know.
Editing. I mean, look, I've been to one of these Drag Race finales. They literally make you laugh and grimace for 5 minutes so they can plant them wherever they want in the finale. So I'm sure the same is true here. It's such a bummer to me that Maya came out as a mess and she didn't get to play that character. I think it would have been so much funnier if she, right? Her cue cards are gone. So she can she should say things that are confidently wrong. And then Dawn says, that's not what the slide says.
100%, 100%. Because the bones of what they did were funny. Like the Plain Jane joke that they just did, that was funny. Mm-hmm. This idea of the clown, like it wasn't completely hopeless. It just went so south because they didn't. It was like they knew that Maya wasn't able to perform in these certain ways, but they were like, but we still have to make her try. And it's like, what if you didn't? Like, she says she's bad at this. You know she's bad at this. Rue knows she's bad at this. Just set it up in a way where she doesn't do it. And if they decide that they want to be like, well, you didn't do enough, you have to go home, fine. But, like, why set her up to fail in this way?
I'm gagged that the challenge this week is talking. And she saw red. She saw red. She saw a fucking, what's the big mountain?
Kilimanjaro, Everest.
That one. She saw Kilimanjaro before her and she said, I can't do this.
I can flip.
I can split. I can fucking shake my ass in the air, but I cannot talk.
They said, Maya, tell us the story of when you learned how to flip. And she said, we were outside flipping. And they said, let's give her a talking challenge. Like,
they knew. We had told all our Maya Iman stories. We saw her flips. They loved her flips. I enjoy her. I think she was a very refreshing character in terms of Drag Race. Like, very refreshing.
It was refreshing to have. It's been refreshing to have. There's always like the seasons often have someone who is like a little in over their head. And like,
yeah.
It's been a long time since a season has treated someone with like love in that scenario instead of just like, cause it often like, we often get like a Diabetti or a Brita situation where it's like someone gets driven insane by it and like it creates a really toxic narrative. But I feel like this one was fun that they all were nice to her. It was, I don't know. I liked it.
Yeah. I really did like it. I enjoy her as a character. I think there should be more queens who are like, they, who have like
obviously she's one of the most physically unbelievable queens in the history of the show. And yeah, she's not great at some of these challenges. I think that's fine.
No, but every time she lip synced, I stood up and I said, well, kudos mama for spilling. Every single time.
Now we have Zafira and Nymphia. This was funny. Okay.
This was funny.
All the wild reasons. And then Morphine tripped once and they said, how dare you? How dare you stumble even once?
Morphine tripped once. Zafira even tripped once, but she moved on. I mean, I will say Morphine saying drag queen flopping. It's like, you can't do that. Like you can't call out.
You can't do it.
Like you got to do what Zafira did, or you gotta make a funny joke about it. Like, yeah, oops, sorry, ooh, poppers, or like something.
Exactly. I was saying like the same thing. I was gonna say, whoop, that's the maker's mark talking.
Yeah, you anything. Have to do a something, but to be like, I'm flopping. It's just like the one rule. And for that, I do honestly, because everyone else did well enough. I'm like, for that, I do think she kind of had to go in the bottom.
Yeah. But, I thought it was called right, actually. Usually I'll be like, no, this person should be in the bottom. But I was like, yeah, she's in the bottom.
Yeah, I think that's what it had to be.
I was also surprised that Zafira didn't say, lying is not only fun, it's free.
That's true.
It's free. Lying is free as shit.
It's free. It's so free.
What's a lie you told recently?
What is a lie I told recently? I'm trying to think of one too.
What lie did I tell? I tell a lot. It's probably just like confidence. Sometimes I'm lying. Like when I'm in like a gay space, I'm lying about how confident I am.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? Like I will just pretend I'm incredibly confident, even though the insecurities are popping off, mommy.
I know what you mean. I was recently asked to do something that I did not want to do.
Uh-huh.
And instead of saying, no, I don't want to do that, I said, I have a meeting that I have to go home for. And I went home and did not have a meeting. I just went home.
Period. Wait.
It's one of the nice things about the advent of internet, like meetings happening on Zoom is you can just say, sorry, I have a meeting, and then go to your own goddamn house and sit down.
Oh,
and
people have
no way of knowing if you have a meeting or not.
Thank you, pandemic.
Honestly, it's one of the few good things we got.
It's fine. It's fine. Everything we lost, it's fine. Now we can go home. can we talk about, I talk about this right now. I cannot wait. The 4 minute sidebar that the judges spent on deciding if they felt okay
about
Nymphia's accent was so strange and weirdly more triggering to me than if you just laughed at her doing the accent. Just laugh.
Yeah.
You can laugh at an Asian person doing an accent that represents like a part of their culture. If you talk about it, you're making me feel weird.
Yeah, I guess it's like, yeah. No, I kind of agree. I didn't really think we were going to talk about it. I guess, like, I was like, I thought, like, it also wasn't, she was still saying jokes within the accent.
Yeah.
The accent was not the joke. I guess, like, you could argue it was, like, an effort to make it funnier.
Yes.
I just didn't really think it was necessary to talk about it. I guess they did, but, like, I thought she had some funny jokes. She like did a self dig at the Jane Goodall thing. I thought that was great.
That was fun.
Like I think Zafira was the clear winner, but I think Nymphia did like a solidly safe performance.
I thought it was solid safe. And then her look was one of the best. So I was like, yeah,
we'll get there. We'll get there.
But I just thought that was a weird sidebar. If anything, I just didn't see why we spent so... It made me feel weird that we spent so much time...
The fact that they talked to her about it in the critiques and then again it happened during deliberation. I was like, wow, they're really talking about this.
It was weird to me.
Yeah.
It was like them trying to not get canceled and like, on the one hand, I get that we're giving space to that conversation, but it's pretty simple. Like, we don't do the same thing when a black queen does a dialect that references a part of her life.
Quite frankly, I don't know if this is a one-to-one comparison. Maybe, I don't know if Rue will often tell black queens, like, lean into...
Yes.
That aesthetic or like she gave Maya that suggestion tonight. I wanted you to perform, like, I guess that's not the same as doing an accent you don't have, but like,
right.
I don't know. There's something.
She's definitely
maybe
given
not qualified
that
exactly
advice
to talk about what we're talking about, but there is something there.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm saying, look, I'm here for someone. I'm here for us having a conversation that is sensitive. Let's, to quote my favorite queen in the whole world, work mama for spilling. What is it?
Well, kudos mama for spilling.
Well, kudos mama for spilling, Rue, because you're having the conversation, but it just felt a little rich. I think we either never bring it up or, cause it's like, she is Asian and identifies as Asian and Asian American.
It's also like you have an Asian person on the panel. If they're not bringing it up, maybe fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Right. And if Joel wants to, not that they need to, they can very easily what's the word I'm going to use? Like stop this bomb from detonating by saying like, you're allowed to do something that represents a culture you're a part of. End of story.
Yeah, I don't know. It was very, I definitely was like, I don't know what the answer here is, but I do feel a little weird.
Listeners, pipe off in the comments. Let me know what you think.
Pipe off.
We're going to talk about these looks.
That's what the guys have to do with the steam room at the gym, right?
They pipe off, bitch. Yeah, they fucking pipe off. We're actually going to go visit Steamworks real quick.
Yeah, me after a guy pipes off in the steam room. Well, kudos mama for spilling.
Wait, hold on
1 second. Mono, I think my roommates are coming home, so I'm going to move to my bedroom.
Well, I just want you to know I won't let them spill. I'm not going to let them spill. Okay, we're going to take a break. So silence, queens. I feel like taking a break. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me decrap my brain, because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try, because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go visit betterhelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Bring back my break. We're going to chirp and burp these looks, my friend Jake. Jake,
yes.
If you like a look, you can chirp it. If you don't like a look, you can burp it. If you have some feelings in between, let's talk.
Okay, absolutely.
Okay, category is flashback. They're doing 1980s. DragCon 1980. Also, I can't go on until we talk about Maya Iman LePage said, I Googled DragCon 1980. Do you remember this?
No, I missed that. And that is genuinely okay. One of the funniest things I've ever heard. Okay.
Wait, you'll see. Let's get there.
I'm sick. Okay.
We're going to get there. Plain Jane, giving a business suit, giving thank you for being a friend. What'd you think?
I usually really like Plain's looks. Mm-hmm. I hate this. I hate it.
Talk to me. What is it?
Well, she gives herself, she always pads the shit out of her hips. Like she gives herself like big hips, and then having that like peplum that hits right where her hip pad is and then goes up to her, almost goes all the way up to her big tits. Mm-hmm. She's a rectangle. Like it really doesn't have like a shape to it, in my opinion.
Kind of right.
The color, the black and the, it's just not. I see what was
you're
the
kind effort, of right.
But it's really, I when she walked out, I was like, this is not for me.
You're 100% right. It's a little square. I think it's an adventurous take. I like the print. Her mug is right. The hair is cool. Okay.
Probably my least favorite look she's worn.
Yeah.
And I often really love her looks, but this one is not the one for me.
I almost wonder if there was more black in it, it would actually help. Like
I agree.
Relief to the pattern of it all.
Yeah.
I almost wondered if the pant should just be black, just a black smoking pant.
You know, maybe, or like if it was like bigger panels in the pant or something, I don't really know, but it's just, it doesn't work for me.
Wow.
It's a burp for me. For me, it's
I'm
going
to burp. It's so close to being perfect, but it's not.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's off in a way that kind of derails it fully into burp.
It looks like her head shrunk a little bit too.
It actually really does.
Okay, we're burping it. Q giving Keith Haring, giving AIDS ribbon, giving polka dotted hosiery. What'd you think?
Okay. I love the message and I love the concept, but when Q has done her design challenges, it has been like, how did she make that in a day? Like it's so ornate. It is so complicated. It is so like whatever. This looks like something you would make during a design challenge. Like the fabric doesn't look super expensive. It's like a little thin to me. I don't know. I don't dislike it, but I was not wowed by it.
You weren't wowed. Wow. I didn't even think that far.
But I'm obsessed with her makeup. That brushed out the red and the blue. That is really good.
It's very Addicted to Love. I forget who the fuck that artist is, but
it's like a soft chirp with indigestion. Like I'm just like
Yeah, I like that. I think it's perfectly said. I have to chirp it because I think it works. It works.
It works.
It's the category, the hair, the makeup, the collar. It's a different silhouette than I've seen from her. So I gotta chirp it.
Yeah.
And she's giving a little bit of her story, which is cute.
Yeah, I think it's great in that way.
Dawn giving, in RuPaul's words, high punk. What do you think? One of the baddies from Gem and the Holograms. I forget what they're called. The bad bitches. The misfits?
It's like aesthetically, I don't love it, but I like the big swing. And I think it's like successful at what it's trying to be.
I did. When I saw it on stage, I was like, it sure does get drowned out. In the lights. It's kind of a lot of black. This is a tough one.
Yeah, it's like, it's similar to Q where it's like, I don't think it's a burp, but it's not a, it's like a really soft chirp for me. there's too much black. It is like drowned out.
Yeah, there's so much black.
And I think it's cool. Like she says in the voiceover, she talks about how the boots are suspended from the coat. And I didn't even like clock that until she pointed it out. And I wonder if there was a way to make that more visible.
She's worn these booteralls before in a look.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm not mad at that. I think it's a cool, interesting take.
Yeah.
Is she wearing the same pleasers she's been wearing for the past 4 weeks?
There's a lot of recycling shoes this season. That does seem to be a trend.
That is a trend. I'll give it a light chirp.
Because yeah, it's a chirp.
It's the prompt. And again, it's weird and different. None of these other girls would dare to do this. And that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Okay, here she goes. Listen to Maya Iman LePage say, I literally Googled DragCon 1980.
I'm losing my mind.
And this look popped up. What are you talking about? So
I mean,
Google said drag in 1980s, and this is the look that popped up. Okay, yeah. Great. I love her. I love, again, proof that she's 14 years old. She did not know DragCon was not a thing in 1980s.
100%. Now, I have to say, in my opinion, this is one of, if not the craziest wigs I've ever seen in my life. This wig, understand it. Like, it looks...
This wig is on life support. This wig is in hospice.
It is. Did they buy it from the set of Twister? Like, what happened? Like, it looks so thick and crazy and up. And, like, the front of it keeps flopping down. This wig is just wild.
Lost a fight with a Mack truck. It is some blown out. It is bent over. It is run over. It's hilarious.
Like, did she sit in it in her booster seat on the way to Drag Race? Like, I don't, it looks crazy, but I like
it's really crazy.
The rest of the look, I don't hate. Like, it's,
the rest of it looks really pretty.
I love that green. Am I remembering correctly? Is the back of it black? Like, it's not green on the other side, right? The back of the cape is black.
I think when she removes the cape, let's see. We'll see soon enough.
Does she turn around? Yeah. When she turns around, I feel like the back
is. No. I think there's a panel. When she rips it off for the lip sync, there's like a big black Velcro panel that may have been distracting. That's what
I'm
thinking.
Okay. I don't hate it, but I think it's a soft... The wig is so crazy.
The wig is so funny and crazy. I am going to chirp this, which is so funny. Because it meets the prompt, I think her body looks gorgeous.
Her body looks gorgeous. I love that color. That is like, I really love that color green. So I will also soft chirp it.
It's funny.
Okay. Now.
Safira Cristal giving material girl proper 1980s.
I'm sorry. Chirp, 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 chirp. Every chirp in the world.
Yeah, this is it. This is the decade. This is all you have to do.
Teen Witch. Like, she got the Teen Witch hair. God. Like, it's Teen Witch hair. Like, she looks like...
I'm gonna be the most popular girl.
I mean, it makes me want to watch the movie. Like, it's it hits so correct. The buttons. I don't typically like dresses that hit that length, that like mid-calf length. But then I was like, no, it is correct though for like that. And she's like such a big woman, and she makes it look so fun and dainty and prommy. I love it.
She really came to these hoes and said, top that. Stop that. Yeah, I don't really give a try. I mean, she's so fucking good.
It's crazy.
She said, I'm going to do the assignment exactly the way it should be done. And everyone else said, I'm going to almost do the assignment.
I think people are afraid to hit right down the middle on a prompt because they're like, what if I'm too similar to everyone else? Or what if I don't get it perfectly right? And Safira is like, oh no, I'm going to hit the fastball. Like, I got
it.
And she does like
the color. And
she also really always knows how to perform the look. Like when she was the majorette, when she was the like haunted house ride operator, like she always knows how to make the look correct.
When
with
she
the
was
character
the goddamn pumpkin,
so good.
Remember when she was a fucking pumpkin bitch?
Girl, I have not forgotten a single Safira Cristal look. I remember them all. I love
the
her so
hair
much.
Is perfect. The oversized clips are perfect.
The
white
buttons, the double. I love it.
Also, what a perfect time to wear like a now canceled, like this silhouette is not allowed anymore, but
yeah,
it was in the 80s. Okay.
It's so good.
Morphine, what the fuck are you doing to me, Morphine? Why are you killing me?
Another crazy wig. What, I mean, and she says like that she had to wear someone else's wig. I don't remember why, but like the bang of that wig is cuckoo cachoo. Like it.
The bang of that wig just got admitted to the cuckoo bin. That's not good.
But yeah, when someone called her deflated Dolly Parton, I was like, that is exactly what it is. Like,
I also just on the face of it, the look is not quite enough. You know, when you see all these other looks and you're like, what?
Yeah, it's just a little.
It's real again. I'll never wear anything this gorgeous. Having said that, we're accustomed to such a level of hugeness and over the topness that this is just like.
The face is right, though. And it always is with her. Her makeup is so
crazy.
Good.
The garment is a cute color, but it just feels so safe when she needs to glitter, not be.
I wonder if that, because like if you see when they show her face, when they show her ass, like she's glittered. I bet that looked so beautiful in real life.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I just don't think it showed as well on camera. But like that glitter, that like body glitter and that face glitter, I bet it was really stunning. Like, and that,
I'm sure. Yeah. And the bang. And the bang. The
that
bang
fucking bang
looks. Do you remember the hook from I Know What You Did Last Summer?
Oh my God. Absolutely.
That's what it's giving. It's giving. It's giving. I'm going to get you.
Oh my God.
I'm going to get you. Okay. Nymphia Huind giving Grace Jones.
Mugler. I mean, it's so
fuck
good.
Off. Fuck off. I mean,
it's so good.
She's also saying, you know, there's Keith Haring inspired painting. There's these wire frames. Also the wig.
The wig is like so great in that way that it's like choppy at the back. Like it's just so good. It's so, so good.
It's so good. It's unbelievable. Again, and then Joel, I think, perfectly says like this is somehow past and future, or whoever says that is like, yeah it really is.
Yeah.
It really is both.
It's so good.
It's so good. The wiring over her snatch.
And she just always, her face, like she is just one of the most beautiful people. Like, I just can't get over it.
It's insane. Chirp, chirp, chirp.
Chirp, 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 chirp. Yeah.
I'm glad that, like, it feels like this season, like, good runways actually save you from the bottom, I guess, when the judges
that
like
is
you.
So true, Mono.
Is that
is
new?
So
right? Remember when that didn't matter? Now it matters, right?
Yeah. I think that they are factoring in the runway a little bit more.
I think so. I hope that's not just because the judges are doing what they, I mean, the production's doing what they want to do.
Do you know what it might be? Do you know what I actually genuinely wonder?
Talk to me.
If maybe, like, because this season has, like, Q and Nymphia, I think, make a lot of their looks. And I wonder if, like, Rue respects that more. Like, I wonder if Rue's like, well, the look's not going to save you if you bought it, but if you made it. Like, I do wonder maybe that's part of it.
That's real. I like that. Okay. So we have a winner. Let's talk about this, how funny this is immediately. Everyone gets critiques. Safira wins. And Q is mad.
Well, I was gagged. Like, I thought, because the way they acknowledge Safira's, they say to Safira, like, they're like, you flubbed up, and it's so hard to win an audience back after you do that, because But they don't say like, and you did. They just say like, it's really hard to come back from fucking up like you did. Mm-hmm. So they kind of like leave it on this cliffhanger where I was like, oh, and the Q got like borderline no critiques. So I was like, oh, it is Q's. Like, I think Q got it. Mm-hmm. So I understand the whiplash of being like, wait, what the fuck? Like, she got a negative critique and I didn't. Why is she winning? Mm-hmm. But you can't go, I'm happy for you, but I'm gagged. Like, come on, girl.
Come on, girl. I have to say, you know, I think she was like, I spilled my heart. I spilled. I
kudos, mama, for spilling. Exactly. I got my kudos, and I didn't get the kudos I wanted.
She didn't get the kudos.
She didn't get the kudos.
It was just thank you, mama, for spilling, and she needed that kudos.
I do wonder if that was part of it. You know,
I mean, it's wild. I don't know what to say. I am. Gagged him a bit for sure. I am gagged because there's no elegant way to talk about this, but. Miss Q really did say, bitch, I shared my status with you. Give me a win.
They also, in Untucked, they bring out she gets a video message from her.
Okay.
From her husband.
Okay.
Who she was with when she got diagnosed. And she tells the story about like calling him and him leaving work to come be with her. And it's very, very emotional and beautiful. But she's also like, so emotional and clearly can't cry the way she physically needs to because of her makeup. Whoa. And the sounds she is making to hold back tears are crazy. Like, I was like, you need to get this girl a box of tissues.
If you had to recreate, what did it sound like?
It's like, like, it's really crazy. Like, it's, and she's trying to talk while do it. You should go watch it. It's just, it's really kind of kooky, the sound she makes, but it's also a beautiful story. And like, her husband's video message is so sweet. It's so, so sweet.
That's beautiful. Well, Q, I just want to say, Q, you're doing great. Okay. Don't, you're doing great. And then the cunt in me is going to say, it's a drop of privilege to be like, there's a drop of privilege there just to be like, I need to win. There's no space for other people to do well. I need to win. It's like, you got to keep that shit to yourself.
I think that it's like, I mean, I think that it's also just like, there's three girls with two wins and now Safira has three. So I think they were all excited to be like, I'm going to get the third win and be the front runner. We're getting close to the finale.
Right.
I think it's like, I think that they're probably in their heads. I mean, they all know that anyone can go home at any time, but I think that there are now like 3 to 4 clear front runners. Mm-hmm. And I think they're all being like, who's going to get it? Who's going to get it? So I think it's starting to feel a little more intense probably too.
We're getting that's not, this is the heat I wanted in this competition. So 100%. Dawn is in the bottom three, but she's safe. And we have our Miami face off. This has been a narrative we've been wanting all season. The Miami girls are going head to head. And we've got Maya Iman LePage, the queen of flips, against Morphine BBW Dion. What did you think about this lip sync and this head to head?
Let me tell you, I had a good old time. I love this lip sync.
This was fun.
I thought it was fun as hell.
Yes. To Miss Donna Summers, dim all the lights.
I mean, like, even like from the second because we had Morphine in that lean back, and then Maya said, "You are my co-rack. You are my." And in Maya's defense, I don't think that was intentional. I don't think she meant to be like, boop. Maybe she did, but the minute that Morphine flipped that off and just kept going, I said, "We're gonna have a good time tonight." And she fully did.
She didn't go outstage. She put it on her face, and I can't remember the last time we got a in the middle of a lip sync. Like, this is
Rue's face is amazing. Rue's face is literally like, that bitch just did that.
Yeah. I did agree that was a little, that was too much. You can't.
No, it's not good sportsmanship.
It's bad. On her face while she's bent over backwards. That was good TV. I'm happy about it.
I mean, it was good TV. And then when we get recovery afterwards, I think Morphine is a genius also for that extended upsplit thing.
Oh, that was like, very
that
cool.
Was very fun to hold it for so long.
That was,
and
a risk.
Don says it like, it's like, it's, you gotta hold it, and then if it's too long, it's uncomfortable, and then if you hold it long enough again, it's genius.
Genius.
And it was.
Yeah, 100%. It was too long, and it was geniusly too long. She's throwing her tit at her, though. This just felt, they were just mad at each other.
That was funny as fuck. Throwing the tits, I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah, they don't like each other one bit. And afterwards, when Morphine wins, Maya is not like, good job, girl. She really is just like, she's just like.
Maya says, because Morphine does the drag racing. Morphine turns to her and says, I love you so much. And Maya's like, mm-hmm. Like,
Maya's literally just like, you know when you're obsessed with the ceiling? She's like.
Absolutely. I think Maya is just genuinely can't believe that her wig is still on her head, because that thing is crazy.
I know. I love it. See, this is what I like, though. It's like, wigs either need to be gorgeous or a rat pile. And I like that it is just a rat pile at this point.
It's so funny. It's so funny. Yeah, Joel throwing the cards while, like, Maya's upside down, Morphine's in that split. Like, heaven.
Yeah. Yeah, Morphine really turned it out for me, I gotta say. I was surprised and delighted.
Yeah,
and I agree.
Great.
It was time, Maya. We love you, but guess what you need to do to win this show? You gotta talk. And
yeah.
you don't much enjoy talking very much.
No, it's not her favorite thing to do.
It's not. So Maya Iman LePage flips her way out of the competition. Her mother picks her up in her Ford Aerostar, and she's now able to go to 9th grade like she's meant to. Thoughts? Any other closing thoughts on this season? Who's your winner?
Saphira is my winner, but I will be happy for Nymphia if she wins and really not have much to say.
Yeah.
But Saphira is my pick for winner. I really enjoy her and adore her work.
Yeah.
And I think she has, there's nothing like that person who it's like, oh, she's a 360 professional. It's like top to bottom. It's clean. It's cut. It's ready.
Ooh. I thought we left the spa, girl.
Sorry.
But I will say this, you know what my conspiracy theory is?
What?
I think Plane's going to win this season.
You are crazy. You think?
Not because I want her to. Because what's a better way to follow up a Sasha Colby win? What's the best? No one is like, no, is it with another hero or with a villain?
I mean, that would be so crazy to me if she won, but if she wins.
I think she's going to win. And I don't like it, but I think she's going to win.
Well, then I'm excited to see Saphira and Nymphia on All Stars. And to Plain Jane, kudos mama for spelling. Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, I don't know what else to
say. If she doesn't say that, if she says, is there anything you'd like to say, my queen?
With her scepter and her crown, kudos mama for spilling.
Jake, you're fucking delightful. What can we plug before we go? Anything you want to plug?
Your Instagram. You can follow me on Twitter you can follow me on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter at Jake W. Cornell. And then my monthly show, Gorge Night, is coming back at Union. Nope, not at Union Hall. I need venues. My monthly show, Gorge Night, is coming back at Club Cumming on April 18th. And my new hour is premiering at Union Hall on April
29th. Cute. I love it. I live. Okay, that's cute, me. Bitch. Well, we'll post all those links below. So click, clack below. And if you like Drag Her Podcast, give us a 5-star review on the Drag Her Pod, on the Drag Her Podcast, on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We will read them on this pod. If you give us a 5-star review or even a sketchy one, I don't give a shit. We read them all. Like this one. Here's one. Oh, here's one's nice and simple. Tomfoolery. Brian O wrote Tomfoolery, 5 stars. My fave. Thank you, Brian O.
Thank you,
for
Brian.
The brevity, because brevity is the soul of wit. So do that. Hit us up. Talk to us. Comment at Dragger Podcast on Instagram. We're also covering UK versus the World 2, which is a cute, because we don't have enough Drag Race. So go listen to those episodes as well. Till next time, my dears. Let the music play. Bye, Jake. Bye.
Bye. That was so fun. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
That was a HeadGum Original.